This morning's sermon, for lack of a better term, is going to be very participatory. So if you were part of the Faith Walkers conference, why don't you come forward, please, at this time. But you who are remaining seating, you're not off the hook. You're also going to be taking part in something a little later. You'll see in due time. You'll see what your role is. But what we wanted to do was give these folks, why don't you stand, why don't you stand on the second step across behind me here. Come on, kind of down so you're more center. Keep moving. Okay. Grace and Tim Iani also were with us. They're not well this morning physically, so they're at home. And I have something I'm going to read for them. Make my wife be the last person. Before we get started, before you start, Chris, let me just say a thing or two. There's no way we can recreate our conference experience. Pam, you are. It's only ever Holy Spirit pressure. It's never human pressure. Yeah. We're not going to try to recreate this morning what our experience was, but just maybe share just a little bit of a little taste of what our experience was. We really did have a sweet time of fellowship, didn't we? If you've never been to Faith Walkers, you should know that on the very last day, on the afternoon before the last big all-group conference-wide teaching, there are what are called tie-down sessions where each church, each city is encouraged to meet, and they give a room for you to just sort of debrief together. And hey, what do you think God was saying to you during this time? And it was a real sweet time of fellowship. There were not a few tears and Kleenexes and hugging, and it really was a sweet time. So if you're feeling like you missed out, you missed out. But
Xbox is in the back in case anybody wants.
Yeah. So we're not going to try to recreate this, but just invite you into some of what our experience was. So we're going to ask each person to briefly share. Go ahead.
All right. Now. All right. Wonderful. I went into Faith Walkers thinking that I need a refresh of my spiritual path, not knowing that's not what God had for me. I was going into a seminar about healing, and when I sat down, I didn't realize how much it was going to impact me. When I grew up, I didn't have a father figure in my life. My father left us. With that, I went through life. My mom always had to be busy. My mom, you know, was always working to support us. So my brother was always doing a different thing. He had a different path. So as I grew up, and then I went to college, I didn't know how to be a true man when I was at college. So when I was free, when I was put into a situation, another state, into an environment where the devil just fills that, sin was what I thought was the best thing for me and how I reached out. And to this day, it hurts. It has impacted my life, and I will always have to live with those sins for the rest of my life. But I see it as going back to being a wound from my father that wasn't there for me and my brother as we were growing up. So I had this deep wound that it was just built up all the way down inside, and I didn't realize that. For probably the past couple months, as I was talking to my dad, he was always finishing just saying, "Hey, Chris, I love you." And to me, I was just like, all right, whatever, a little too late. And that's what my mind felt. But when I went through this session, realized that with this wound, I need to forgive if I can't to be able to move on. I need to forgive so then I can forgive, almost forgive myself for all the sins I made that have, I tell myself, and even ruins my life to this day. So with that, I will never forget what my dad did to us, but at that time, I forgave him. And so probably later that day after that session, I called him and we talked. I was just like, hey, we're down here in North Carolina. Again, he finished saying, hey, Chris, I love you. But for the first time in probably, I think, years, I can't even remember, I finally said, I love you back and meant it. And so I will never forget what he did, but I finally forgave him, and still the devil will battle and tell, you know, say, hey, Chris, you can't forgive him. He doesn't deserve it. But for how much I sometimes think in my mind that he doesn't deserve for me to say I love you, God wants me to say that. God wants him for me to think that and know that, you know, my dad knows that I'm still with him. So that's what I got.
I'm Sam Iani Jr. This is my 12th Faith Walkers, I think. I haven't really gotten much out of it up to, it was like the last day Chris Old was talking and talked about new people coming to church. And one of the things that challenged me was I went to Julius's church, IM Church, in Columbus. And there was about five or six, maybe seven guys there. There were a lot of women with their kids. But each guy made it a point to come up to me and introduce themselves, even though I was there for the first time. So if you're new here to New Song, welcome to New Song. I can't tell you how much I'm glad to have you guys here. I'm trying to make it a point to introduce myself to new people. The biggest thing for a lot of people is just coming into the church, just through the door. And a lot of people have just come once or twice. Nobody's connected with them. Nobody's talked to them. And so if you're new here, thank you for coming. It's going to be awesome having you guys come back. I would love to meet you and get to know you better. I had most of my stuff written down, but now I can't remember it, so I apologize. So that was just one of those things. It's like, if you guys are here for the first time, welcome to New Song. I'd love to get to know you. Please introduce yourself to me, or I will try and hunt you down myself. So that was my takeaway from Faith Walkers this year, was just as a challenge to meet new people, try to keep them coming back to New Song. So, yeah.
Okay, I don't know why everyone knows that we have to say something without me. Well, okay. For me, the most important thing in Faith Walkers, most encouraging me, was the night, I think this was third night in Faith Walkers, when we came worship God together. And this was time when, I don't remember his name, this was Dave Cars? No, Cars. This was...
Frank
Luke. No, this was worship time. Dennis Clark. Okay, thank you very much. Dennis Clark was leading the worship session during the night, and we were singing scriptures. This was very interesting because I never experienced something like that we just took Bible and verses from Bible and we were singing this with music. And this was something very amazing for me, that we can sing just Bible. Always for me was very important worship, that this is time when we are focused on the God. During the preaching, we are focused on ourselves, what is wrong in us, what we have to fix in us. But during the worship, it's time when we are focused only on the God. We are giving His glory to Him. And we, yeah, we are worshiping Him. So worship time always was the most touchful time for me. And this time also was very important for me. And this was very encouraging for me, because I see that God is putting in my heart desire to worship Him and to also be part of times like that, that I would like to go back to Poland and maybe start something like that. So this was amazing for me. And I see that God is giving me skills to play piano, and now I'm learning to how play guitar. So I think maybe in future I will be able to do something like that. And also I see that God is giving me wife who loves singing. So we can be a couple, and I can play, she can sing, so it's cool. So that's what I saw in Faith Workers and what was important for me.
To Czech Republic. And we had a talk about the need for people to go over, the need for the gospel. And one of the things that the speaker had said was that just release the people, release them to go, don't detain them anymore, let them go. It's necessary for us to reach the ends of the earth. And for me, that was extremely powerful, because I didn't know that I was being held back. I didn't know that there was a weight on me that was kind of holding me back. I'm like, I'm ready to go, and everything makes sense, but I didn't know there was something like my culture holding me back, and I needed to be set free from it. So for me, it was super powerful to be somebody to tell me to say, you can go, just go, just go. And so it was kind of life-changing for me to be able to hear that and to be able to respond to that. So that's kind of what I learned.
Yeah, we're excited for her to go, too. Chris Oles shared on one another's topic. I just wanted to share a few one another verses. I think New Song does a really good job at doing one another's. But I just wanted to remind you some scriptures that I found on the internet. Imagine that. There are 47 verses that are one another verses. And 60% of them are instructed from Paul. United verse here, be at peace with one another, don't grumble among one another, be of the same mind with one another, accept one another, love one another, as most people heard that one. Through love, serve one another, tolerate one another in love, greet one another with a kiss of love. We don't do that because of culturally, but you get the idea. And then give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. We've done that before. So those are just a few of the ones that I want to remind you of. You can go look them up yourself. But I think as New Song, I would like to this year accelerate at these verses, loving one another, be united with one another. Like Sammy was saying, you know, new people come in, you know, do the one another verses. You know, old people like me, we like company, you know, we like to be loved on. You know, invite people over for dinner. We're going to try, Marlene and I are going to try to do that more. You know, things like that. Just try to get, you know, be friends with everyone here. We're the body of Christ. We should be, each body has a part in it. And so we should be, you know, doing a one another verses. So that's what I got.
Okay, I went down to Faith Walkers because one day I was sitting in here and they were playing a video to advertise Faith Walkers, and God spoke to me and He said, you need to go this year. That's really difficult for me because I work in retail and it's during the Christmas season, but I went to my boss, and they gave me permission to take the time off, and so I went, and this was the second time I'd been there, and I really didn't know what I was going to get out of it, because God and I weren't on the best of terms. As many of you know, we have a wayward son and daughter too, but she's married and out of the house. But anyway, there were many, 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 many prayers said on my son's behalf, and just, I won't go into details, but I was really hurt that God did nothing to change him or to change me. And so basically I got mad at God and I said, I don't need to pray to you. I don't need to read your word. And so I was living a really empty life. And so when I went to Faith Walkers and the first night, went to the session and the person was like, at the end, you know, write down something that you learned that was new. And I couldn't do it. I mean, nothing was new to me. It was all stuff that I already knew. But anyway, I also went to the session that Chris went to, Nick Leshivo, on being wounded. And when I walked into the room, there was about 30 chairs in there. And I said, when Nick walked in, I said, you're going to need more chairs. And people just kept coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. And there were probably over 130 people in there. We had to switch rooms. But anyway, it really made me notice and realize that I am wounded and that there were a lot of people there that were wounded. And then I went to Chris Old's session, The End of Evil, How Christ-like Love Conquers Sin. And I will do my best to remember to put in the bulletin next week the web address for where the recordings are. But if you listen to none other, I would listen to that one session. That's my opinion. He talked about how the church uses masks to cover up our problems. And the primary way of helping is through one another in commands. And so I just want to encourage everyone to listen to that. And so the whole time I was there, I went to the scripture sing-along thing, and that was a couple hours of just singing the word. And just the whole time of being there and being bathed in the word and people praying and people teaching the truth, and it was really what I needed to hear. And so after we had our tie down and I pretty much talked about how I was struggling with my relationship to God, and I don't want to be there. I really don't. I know it's wrong. And yet I didn't really seem to be able to do anything about it. And so anyways, we talked a lot and prayed, and then after that we went to dinner. And Jeff and I were sitting with Ron and Marlene. And Ron said to me, and I was started asking me more specifically about where I was with God. And he said, you know, Christ is the only one who can take away the pain. You need to embrace him. And it was just like, you're right. I'm running from the very person who could help me. And I just need the Lord. And so I would just ask that you would pray for me, that my relationship with the Lord would be restored. And Jeff and I've had a lot of problems reading the word, but also because of vision problems. And so Jeff and I, before we even got home from Faith Walkers, we stopped at Lifeway, and I bought a Bible that's a giant print. And I'm happy to say that with everybody's help here and the prayers that were given for me, that I've been reading the word every day since I got back.
It probably goes without saying, you need to pray for her, because look who she's married to. Okay, unfortunately, Tim and Grace are not here because they're sick, but I told Jack I'd volunteer to take their time up as well, so I've got about a half hour here. I went to Faith Walkers this year, and I wrote this out so that I won't be very verbose. I'll get through it. I went to Faith Walkers this year because I felt that the Lord called me to go. much like Lael, and that he was going to do something new and refreshing in my life. I'm getting ready to turn 55 in a short while, and I am looking for more direction in life and how I can make my life significant with the years that I have left. I figured what better place to get answers than from Faith Walkers, where men who are living the Christian life, and many of them who are older than me, can share what they have learned along the way. Well, it didn't turn out like I had thought it would. Isn't it interesting that when you go to school to learn to get answers, the way you know that you have learned something usually involved a test or being asked questions by the teacher? Even Jesus, on occasion, would not answer a person's question with a direct answer, but rather another question. That's what happened to me at Faith Walkers this year. I went looking for answers, but what I got was a whole lot of questions. I'd like to share those with you here. And I'm going to go through each session title, the person that did it, and then the question I got from them. It was broken up in faith, hope, love, three different sections. First one was Robbie McAllister, who did, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And he talked about Hebrews 11. The question was, what are you believing God for? Burke Wilson shared, "God's word, that settles it. I believe it." The questions I got were, are you investing your faith? And what are you doing with what was entrusted to you? And one of the other ones that was shared was from Nick Carruthers' presentation. It and Chris Olds were the two that were probably talked about the most the entire time we were there. Nick shared on living in exile, overcoming obstacles to faith. He shared about Old Testament obstacles that was, you know, to their faith, and then about today. And the question he asked, what are my obstacles to overcome? Jonathan Kimball presented a thing on Jesus is coming, exclamation point. The questions I got from him was, how do you plan to embrace the return of Jesus? And is there an idol in your life in which you are placing false hope? Nick kind of shared on that too, about the idols in our lives, like digital, like, you know, cell phones and computer and all that kind of stuff. Dave Bloom, his was on resurrected dreams. Questions I got were, are your dreams realistic, appropriate, and from the Lord or not? And have I made my dreams an idol? And is God redirecting my dream or resurrecting it? Those were all very powerful thoughts about life and like where I'm at. One thing you can ask Lael, I tend to live with regrets, things I wish I would have done or didn't do or can't do now. You know, I'm old. and trying to go from this point forward. Mike Cater, it was a great talk that he gave. His was Hope for Dying Souls in a Dying World. He gave a kind of a history about how Jesus really changed the world and gave hope. The question that he gave is, what is your response to Jesus' calling? And how are you going to show hope to others? Frank Liu, his was on Dying to Love. The question was, are you willing to make the lifestyle changes required for you to love other people? Chris Old was already mentioned, The End of Evil, How Christ-like Love Conquers Sin. The biggest thing for me for our church was, where is the one another plan in your church for basically everything? Matt Gordon presented Pursue Love, and the questions I got was, who is difficult for you to love? And how do you plan to endure during this? Tom Short, he had the wrap-up at the end. He was called Empowered. He says, have you been in the world, or have you been in the Word, meaning actually read it, every day? And in 2019, what are you trusting God for? So these are all very big questions that, you know, the end of this year, I'll be able to have answers to some of those, but maybe you're on the same journey as I am, and these are questions that you guys are going through. I encourage you to just follow through with it. Like Lael said, get online. I don't podcast stuff. I don't, you know, usually do that because of, you know, driving and all that kind of stuff, but I am definitely going to go back and re-listen to some of the things that were there. And at the end, I came away with some, like, I like bumper sticker type comments, you know, things to kind of remember. Robbie McAllister shared a quote from William Carey: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. I think a lot of times I expect too little of myself, and, you know, it's like, well, God can't do that. And it's like, what am I talking about? God can do anything. Frank Liu prayed this, and it really struck me. He said, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, not to make bad people good, but to make dead men become alive. And Chris Old, the thing that I got away from him was that it's not a you problem, it's not a me problem, it's a we problem. So we can all help each other through it. And one thing we kind of agreed, Tom Short, you know, nailed it on the head. Life is more than just arriving at the grave safely. You know, this is an adventure, and we need to all embrace that. And how can we do that instead of just doing it safely? So hopefully you can join me this year in finding God's answers to your questions.
Hi, everyone. I've been to Faith Walker several times, and the one big takeaway this year was the first year that they did Faith Walkers Junior. So those of you that have younger kids, a lot of times I think some people don't go to Faith Walkers because it's a lot of sessions and it's really tough, but they've put that in this last year, and I think it was a really good time. I wasn't able to go to several sessions because I was back in the nursery. But one conversation that I had, and actually God just blessed me that way because I had great conversations with people there in the nursery time amongst children that were already there 3 hours. It was getting old for the little toddlers. But anyway, I talked to Dave Bloom's wife, and he had done a session on Dreams Resurrected. And he's an older pastor, bunch of kids, you know, so they didn't go on very many vacations. And I'll just quickly share what happened. They went to Ireland, and they were all excited about this boat trip, and it just happened that the boat trip, there was choppy waves, thank you. And by the time they got to the island and then began to come back, he was barfing the whole way back. So he didn't, I don't even know if he even got out of the boat when they got over to it's the Island of Moher. I think it's a Lord of the Rings thing, I don't know. Adele, you would know. Is it in Lord of the Rings? Is it? Anyway, it's this very scenic place. He didn't get to see any of it. But when they got back, and I can't even remember the details, but somehow they met someone there that told him how to drive over. They drove, and he got this huge aerial view of that rock, and it was just beautiful. And his theme was resurrected dreams. And I think a lot of us have difficult things that we go through, or we have a dream and it's really not working out the way God that we planned. But as Jack often says, everything's God filtered. And because of what happened with him, he was able to see an aerial view of this. And I think sometimes we forget God's got that aerial view, and he is resurrecting our dreams in a very, very special way. So don't give up on those things that you think, you know, God hasn't answered, because God has a really great way that he's going to answer that. So that was my takeaway.
Well, Jack and I were also very much a part of Faith Walkers Junior, which I would really encourage you to either come and bring your kids or participate in next year, because the kids, you should have seen it, we're standing in the lunch line, and this one little girl kept looking at us, and I waved at her, and then she started going, Mr. Jack, Mr. Jack. Everybody wanted to play with Mr. Jack, and I'm like, you know, I worked hard with those kids. Because of that, we missed quite a few sessions, and for me, there was some pluses to that, because I kind of went with a little bit
Layla and I have a lot of connections. This has been a very hard year. And it was pretty, our breakout session, breakdown.
Yeah, breakdown.
Maybe we should change the name, guys. Our tie down session was, you know, pretty people sharing, but a little, you know, kind of as we can do so well. You share a little bit, but maybe not all the hard things. And thankfully, Susanna started to cry, and that just kind of unglued us all. But I did not go to Nick Leshaivo's teaching because I thought, I'm not ready to be in a room full of people and come unglued. But the session that spoke to me the most was also Chris Olds. And while I agree with Ron on one hand that we are a one another church, on another hand, I would say we have a long way to go. And part of that, I realize, is it goes both ways. We can have an attitude of loving someone, but we also have to have the attitude of receiving. And Chris said he could give his talk in one word, and that word is church. And y'all know I have a very big family, and we can all think, well, our families meet needs, and they do. But we really need each other because there are needs here among us. I have needs that only you all can meet. And while we are an open church, and Sammy's right, we welcome people. I remember coming and being, of course, I was, you know, we were coming. We were the Chris and Marie's new co-pastor family and loved and anticipated. And yet there is still a part of me that feels like I'm on the outside. And I think, probably everybody here, if they're really honest, except maybe people who have been here from the very beginning, may not feel that way because they've been together for such a long time. Y'all have been together for a long time. But there's, and a lot of that's me. And I realized the one another really goes both ways. Chris said, well, he talked about how God sovereignly placed us in our church. And I thought, I just realized God sovereignly placed me here. He sovereignly placed you here. And we need each other. And he said, we're a family, we're an army, and we don't leave anybody behind. And I know for a fact that there are several of you in this room who feel left behind. And I know I have felt that way, not a lot because of what happened to us in the last year, but and a lot because of my response to that. So I'm not standing here saying you guys have done wrong. I'm saying that we, who just said the church is we, yeah, mm-hmm. Jeff. It's not you, it's not me, it's we. We really need each other. The verses are love one another. It's both ways. And I one of the verses that Chris shared, it's from 1 John 4. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And I want God's love perfected in me. So that comes from loving each other. So it was a great Faith Walkers. And I have to also say, I really am an introvert. And so in some ways, sharing these things scares me to death because I think I'm not sure how to receive, how to not kind of back away. But we need to learn. And I know a very large number of you all are the same, are introvert at heart. So let's learn well how to love each other. And I just have to say, I'm really glad to be here.
Take a seat. Thank you. Let me just close the loop on this by reading. I asked Grace and Timmy to send me an email that I could read to you since they couldn't be here. Grace said, when I got to Faith Walkers, all of a sudden I was back as a single adult like all the other Faith Walkers I'd ever experienced. And I was ready to go to all the teachings and have awesome community with other believers. I didn't realize I had taken on that thought process until the first day when the boys had to take a nap and I recognized I was a mom before everything else. My bubbly personality that loves to be with people had to take a back seat. And I realized far too often in my relationship with the Lord, I let my personality run things. I fill my time with texting people or spending time with friends, and I don't devote one-on-one time with the Lord like I should. It is wonderful to check in on people and love one another, but Christ needs to be who I run to. He's the King of Kings and has every answer under the sun. And I can read the God of creation's words and yet somehow take that for granted. The teachings were phenomenal and the time away was wonderful. But I think this year spoke to me in a more quiet way, in real way than ever before. Being a mom has been a real test for me the last several months. And I've not used Christ's strength well. But as a mom and a wife, having gone to Faith Walkers, my resolve is to love living my relationship with the Lord as much as I love living my relationship with my community. And then she includes Lamentations 3:22 through 25, which you can read later. And then Tim said, this year, Faith Walkers was a difficult time for me. This was the first Faith Walkers I had gone to since having been married and having two kids. When I was single, I was able to go to every session and social event, and it allowed me to really focus on myself and my relationship with the Lord. Along with the distraction of having kids at a conference like this, Grace and the kids were sick most of the conference, and it required us to stay in our room and miss a lot of the teachings. I was, however, reminded by someone that Faith Walkers is rich enough of a conference so as to get plenty from it without attending every session. One of my biggest takeaways was to crave God's word more. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. I have read that verse many times before, but having a son that is currently nursing gives that verse a new meaning to me. I see how intensely he longs to nurse when he's hungry. I was definitely convicted that my desire for God's word is not nearly as intense as my son's desire for milk when hungry. The Spirit of God within you and me is hungry for God's word. I want to challenge you to examine your habit of getting into God's word. Is it every day? Is it once or twice a week? Is it once a month? Or maybe you cannot remember the last time you read your Bible. Treasure the word of God, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, thank you for each person who shared. As I mentioned earlier, we want to give you an opportunity to take part, and so I've asked the ushers to quickly pass out something for each one of you. And you'll see, here's maybe some more, I don't know, I guess we have, there, all right. Okay, this is a tool that was used by Chris Old and his teaching, and I'm just sort of mimicking what he did, because it was a very powerful and effective tool that helped everybody there grasp something that's very necessary. Now, I need two things from you in this exercise. And I beg of you for number one, honesty, and number two, anonymity. Do not put your name on this. If you do, it'll mess everything up. So this is about being not only honest, but also anonymous. So I'm going to ask you to get up and encourage you to find a seat where someone's not sitting right next to you, so you're not self-conscious about who's watching me. Come on, you can get active here and stand up and get your blood moving and find a place where someone's not sitting next to you and not too many people are moving. Okay, if you're having someone sit next to you, pretend like they have something that you don't want to catch. And you want to not sit next to them. Or maybe you can just be really, okay, like the only of you, put a check or an X by the boxes that are true for you. So do not sign your name. This is totally anonymous. First one, my family has serious problems. I feel hopeless about healing and reconciliation in my family. Easy to come to church and put on a front. Oh, how you doing? Oh, everything's great. Really? Be honest. Next one, I often feel lonely and isolated from meaningful relationships. Is that true for you? Again, I'm not asking you to fabricate anything, but just to be honest. Next one, I have been sexually assaulted or abused sometime in my life. That's true for you? Put an X there. My past/current sexual sins weigh on my mind and my heart. It's something that's, yeah, it's in your past, but it's still there, somehow buried underneath a lot of stuff. Next one, I often think if people knew the real me, they would be repulsed. I feel like a pretender. Therefore, when I go to church on Sunday, it's I'm putting on the front, I'm putting on the best, my best foot forward, because I just wouldn't want anyone to really get what's really going on in my life. Next one, the truths of the Bible are often feel distant, boring, irrelevant to my life. That's not the spiritual thing to say, but if that's reality for you, please mark that one. For example, Christ's love for and his pursuit of me. I just don't get that. I honestly don't really believe that or have a hard time believing that. Next one, I find myself constantly comparing myself to others, either physically, spiritually, vocationally, and or intellectually. I'm always trying to measure up to a standard that others seem to reach while I fall behind. Real easy to do as humans, we compare ourselves with each other. If that's true for you, please put an X there. And the last one, I'm trapped in a regular struggle over porn, overeating, entertainment, body image, fill in the blank, whatever it might be trapping you and just kind of has its claws around you and you can't seem to get free from it. So X that. Okay, pretty simple. Pass them back really quickly. What? Oh, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to fold them. Pass them in. Can we collect them real fast? You guys are going to use the baskets or no baskets? Just pass them to the person next to you, and we're going to gather them all up super fast. And you're thinking, what are you going to do with them, Jack? Are you going to calculate the answers? Are you going to try to do like handwriting analysis? Oh, let's see. This looks like the way Jose would make an X. This is probably Jose's piece of paper. No, none of that. None of that. Now what we would like to do is have the ushers pass them back out again. Quickly, quickly, moving quickly, super quickly, as our ushers always are. Okay, so you get the idea. I think you're probably starting, it took me a while to understand, what is going on? What is Chris Old doing here? And finally the light bulb went on. Ask for some help, ushers, if you need it, to get them all out. So if you filled out a form, you should get a form. Now, the chances that you got the one you filled out are slim to none, probably. It doesn't matter. So what we're going to do now is I am going to ask you to stand one by one. If the paper that you are holding reflects that the person who filled it out put an X in that first box, my family has serious problems, I often feel hopeless, et cetera, et cetera. If that's X'd on your sheet, please stand up. If the one you're holding, okay, we have some extra ones. This hasn't worked. Someone filled one out and doesn't now have one because we have some extras. Okay. If you didn't get one, you need to have one in your hot little hand. All right. We'll get this. We're going to get through this together, people. All right. Not a big deal. Okay. So look around you to get a feel for, relatively speaking, the level of issues that go on here. Okay, have a seat. Next one. If you're holding a sheet of paper where the next box is checked, stand up. I feel lonely, isolated from meaningful relationships. Wow, there's about half the people. You think, oh, Sunday morning, a new song, everybody loves one another. Well, you know what? Honestly, people feel lonely. People feel isolated. Have a seat. Next one. I have been sexually assaulted / abused sometime in your life. Stand up if you're holding a sheet. Okay? Not a majority, but I would say a significant portion. Okay, have a seat. My past / current sexual sins weigh on my mind and my heart. Stand up. Wow, more. Significant. Very good. Next one. I often think if the people knew the real me, they'd be repulsed. I feel like a pretender. Wow. Okay. Have a seat. Next one. The truths of the Bible often feel distant, boring, irrelevant to my life. Stand up. Uh-huh. See, I stand up here and I teach. I think, wow, everybody gets it. Everybody just loves my sermons, you know. They think this relates to me so much. And people are walking by going, not really. Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Have a seat. Next one. I find myself constantly comparing myself to others, et cetera, et cetera. Wow, that's over half. Feeling like I fall behind. I don't measure up. Have a seat. And then the last one. I'm trapped in a regular struggle over whatever, porn, overeating, entertainment, body image. Again, this is a significant number of people that just feel enslaved. Have a seat. Very good. What a powerful tool that we all get to really have a feel, an accurate feel for really what the situation in our church without anyone having to embarrass himself or herself. I love that tool, and it really made an impact on those of us who went to Faith Walkers, and I hope it's made an impact on you as well. You might think the sermon is over, but I am going to squeeze in a really quick sermonette, really short, but I do have some things that I wanted to share, and I'm titling my sermonette. You can go ahead and click that on if you would. Do we have it? Yes. Alien righteousness and what it can mean for our church. Alien righteousness. I know what most of you are thinking. Some little green man. No, that's not what I mean by alien. I was looking up on the internet for some cute little picture to put up there. You know, so much on the internet is copyrighted, you can't just cut and paste. But in looking, I saw this little cartoon. The spaceship has landed, and this alien is standing, and it's looking at a cat, and the cat is sitting down looking up at the alien, and the alien says, "Take me to your leader." And the cat says, "Cats have no leaders." True. Anyway, so what do I mean by alien righteousness? Quickly, theologians have used this term. In our minds, we think perhaps of the Declaration of Independence that says that people are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, intrinsically, by virtue of the fact that you're a human being, you carry in you, you have it intrinsically, rights that have been given you by God, and they cannot be alienated from you. They can't not be made separate. They cannot be made apart. What alien righteousness is that the Bible says, apart from anything we might do or might try to be, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. When I repent and turn to him in faith, his righteousness is put to my account. That, and so I now possess an alien righteousness. And I'm going to go to heaven by virtue of the fact that I have an alien righteousness. It is disconnected from anything I might be or ever do. But it's so easy. And the Galatians, for example, Paul said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? How did this happen so fast? You believe the gospel, but wow, it didn't take long that you kind of got off track, and now you've bought the line that, yeah, trusting Christ is cool, but I gotta keep the law in order to really show God and other people how righteous I really am. And the problem with that is that makes us want to kind of put forward this foot that's not, it's not thoroughly honest. What, let me ask you, what contributes to an environment, and I'm not indicting New Song against any other church in our country. I think this any other church would have about the same results that we have this morning. What about our atmosphere allows that to happen? We need to understand we have an alien righteousness. When I grasp that, it's not about how I might appear to anyone else, what my track record is, how I look to anyone who might ask me, how you doing? There were some people who asked me at Faith Walkers, Jack, how you doing? I said, you know, I'm not really sure. I think they went, whoa, what's his deal? You know, as Joan explained, she and I have been through some real tough things in the last 12, 18 months. And we don't have it all figured out, and we're still struggling in some way. So my answer was, I'm not really sure how I'm doing. What can it mean for our church? Philippians 3, this is a long verse. It's 113 words long. It's a long sentence, I should say. It spans four verses. I'm shrinking it down to just a portion of it. Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. When Christ comes back, how will he find you? Walking around thinking, oh, hey, I've got it together. I'm, you know, go ahead. Ask me how I'm doing. Oh, I'm doing fine. And I'll let you think everything's hunky-dory in my life, and I'll shroud the issues that are really bothering me, and I'll suppress them because somehow I'm thinking that my righteousness that I'm living out on earth, somehow that's going to make me acceptable to God or to other people. No, I have a righteousness that comes from God. It's alien righteousness. I'm going to skip this quote that I was going to share. Forget all this. Forget all that. But let's get down to the very end here. Alien righteousness and what it can mean for our church. When we really grasp, hey, guess what? We're free. We have an alien righteousness that frees us up to be honest. I can be honest and say, you know, I have some real issues in my personal life. I don't have to work. You know what? In a way, I don't really care if you think, well, Jack, you're a loser. You know what? I don't really care. Because I know I'm right with God and I'm going to heaven. I have security. I have freedom in that. God wants each of us to experience and live in that freedom. That's what's going to engender a spirit of openness and true transparency and love. John said, perfect love casts out fear. Fear and love have a hard time existing together. So if we have fears, oh, someone's going to discover what my life is really like. Can true love flourish in that soil? No, it can't. So, what I long for and pray for and want to see happen, Ashley as well, I know, a place where God is truly glorified. See, if it's about my track record and how I look to other people, I get the glory for that, don't I? But with alien righteousness, God, it's all about what he did. That's all the glory goes to him, and none of it goes to me. So talk about God being glorified. When you understand alien righteousness, God is truly glorified. We want an atmosphere of acceptance and love that's truly unconditional. Why don't people come forward readily and share and be open with the things going on in their lives? Well, maybe they fear like, oh, these people might not really accept me. Their love might have some conditions attached to them. We want an environment in which real emotional and psychological healing and wholeness can come about. That's what we're really after. James 5:16, I think, is part of that, which says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. We don't confess our sins to one another to get forgiven by God. That we already have that. We're open with one another so we can experience the healing that God wants for us. But God is saying, you're not going to get that until you humble yourself. And so we just want to foster, Ashley and I want to foster a relationship. We say, go to our website. Have you been on our website recently? If you haven't, let me remind you. What we say about ourselves, we're an ever-increasing circle of love in which there's always room for one more. Well, let's strive to really make that true in its truest sense, that true love is abounding where fear can't remain because we understand alien righteousness and love can freely flow. We also say on our website, come be part of a community of imperfect people getting to know a perfect Savior. And I'll just end with this statement. And again, as someone mentioned, I think Joan mentioned, in the whole scheme of things, we've been here about 6 years. There are a lot of people who've been here longer. And I will suggest to you, I will contend that this church, again, it's not an indictment against this church any more than any other church, but this church has a history of we're the people who have it together. And so it's unspoken. If you come and you let it be known that such and such has happened to you or such and such has happened in your family, you better not do that because you just probably won't get accepted. If people did feel that openness existed, wouldn't they be more forthright and more open with their struggles and what's going on in their lives? I'm just saying, let's in 2019, let's strive to really embrace alien righteousness and allow an environment to exist where people can really be open and know that they'll be accepted and know that they'll be loved. May God help us to have that kind of environment here at New Song. I know you want that. Do you want that? Yes. Yeah. Hey, man, I want it too. We all want that, but there's this fear, oh, if I'm open about what's going on in my life, then what will people say? What'll... And we need to ask God to help us to get past that so love can really flow. Let's pray. Yes. My last bullet point, thank you, was an environment in which real emotional and psychological healing and wholeness can come about. As several people mentioned, Nick Leschivo's seminar at Faith Walkers, and it, whoever organized the seminar had no idea. By virtue of his brief description in this little, which I won't even read, in this little seminar book or conference booklet, people read that and went, wow, emotional healing? Yeah, I need that. See, this is a very real need in people. And Nick hit an open nerve, and I think it's something the Holy Spirit is doing among us. So let's cooperate with what the Spirit is doing in us, and let's let 2019 be all that God wants it to be here at New Song. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your work among us. And as I sat there, Lord, with my brothers and sisters in our tie-down time, and there were tears and hugs, I just knew, Lord, that you are working among us, and we're so glad that you haven't just left us to fend for ourselves in this world. You've sent us your Spirit to fill us and empower us and work with us. Lord, be patient and continue to work with us that we might be all that you want us to be for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your